Hey guys, Alex here with the AJ Nashville Podcast. Hey, I just want to take a moment and thank our sponsors. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you'll ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900. Next on our great list of sponsors is the Wrap Lab. Any type of printed marketing that you're looking for, maybe it's a wrap on your vehicle, maybe it's a new logo design for your new company, reach out to Rich at the Wrap Lab. Let him know I sent you, 615-913-0372. Hey guys, Alex here, AJNashville.com. So, another podcast. I have my friend Jeff Perry here.
Go ahead. Hi, Jeff.
I knew it. This is almost like the norm anymore. He's just going to respond and be like, hi, Jeff. But you should say it, and you should be like,
hi, Jeff.
Found a new toy on my mixing board, so I have to mess with it from time to time. But anyways, so we're not here to talk about hi, Jeff. We were actually having a pretty good conversation earlier.
We were.
And we were discussing Tony Robbins and kind of the way people change their life and the different things that people do in order to improve. And one of the things you brought up is, hey, if somebody's going to change, they need to basically erase everything that they're doing and have a complete 180-degree change.
Well, I was saying for me personally, it would be something where at the end of the day, I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, if I want to do anything at the end of the day. So if for me to completely change things, like if a life coach told me do this, 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 and this tomorrow, if I just went on with my normal life every day like I normally do, I probably would not implement those things that life coach said, do this, 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 and this tomorrow. I might do this or that, but not all of it.
Right. And I think that goes back to a personal choice. You know, in my opinion, it is best to identify a couple things and change things as you go. So it's best to, like I said,
like a spark plug thing.
Yes. So my example with that is, you know, you've got a motor. The motor's not running well. And you don't just yank out the motor and say, okay, brand new motor, brand new start, because the work it takes to put in a brand new motor is a lot less than doing something simple like switching out the spark plugs. So you change out the spark plugs in the motor, and it runs a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And then you go back and you say, okay, now that the spark plugs are changed, now I need to change the air filter. So you change the air filter. And you do these things to help you have a better running motor, so to speak. And obviously, this is an analogy. But it's slowly improving things. This way you can have better overall performance. Snatching a motor out and completely overhauling the whole thing is a daunting task and difficult for most. There's not a lot of people that can do that, for one. For two, you know, you're taking somebody that's done something consistently the same way sometimes for 10, 20, and 30 years. You know, sometimes longer. So I think identifying certain things, identifying certain problems, you know, if you have an issue where your anger is creating a problem in your everyday life, you're not going to change every pattern of everything that you do in life. You may just identify, okay, I need to focus on fixing my anger issue. And that may be going to anger management classes. It may be some counseling classes. You know, there's a multitude of things that you can do to help with anger. But if that's the problem and the anger is creating the issue of, you know, things aren't going well at home, things aren't going well at the business life, things aren't going well, you know, in your personal life, maybe the root of all that's just the anger issue itself. So when you identify it and you fix that, it could get, like I was saying in the analogy, the motor running properly. Mm-hmm. You know, if you get in there and you find out, okay, the spark plugs, this is what's wrong. I pulled out 8 spark plugs and every single one of them was fouled out and, you know, needed to be replaced. And you put all the spark plugs in and suddenly your motor's running smooth. Then why take the time to replace the whole motor? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And the cost, as far as – when I compare this cost, I am talking about time. The cost is much less because of the fact that you were able to identify the issue. And I think what we have to do as human beings – and I was talking to a friend yesterday, and I told this person that, hey, you know what? Take all your issues and map them out and figure out exactly which issues – are life or death, so to speak. So you're going to want to take your issues and you're going to want to identify things. You know, if your health isn't doing well, then you need to focus on that and say, okay, my health, that's number one. Because if you're dead, nothing else matters, right? And so you identify that, hey, you know what? I've been having an issue where my blood pressure is high. So I need to get into a doctor's office and I need to identify that my blood pressure is high and see what I can do to fix that. And then you trickle down to some of the other issues. The issues may include family life. It may include professional life. Whatever other items that that encompasses, then you start identifying and working on those items by the list of importance. You know, but I think we can both agree, without health, you have nothing, right?
Absolutely nothing. You health is obviously the biggest thing that you the biggest hurdle that we challenge.
Right.
Or that we deal with.
So we have your dog in here today. And did she just drop ass?
She has health problems right today. That's why she's here.
She stinks.
Well,
I think she just farted. She's like, I'm going to show you a health problem.
There's no thing.
Whatever
about
it is that's going on in that stomach just came out of her ass.
Yeah.
So that was gross. I tried to hold my composure when you were kind of breathing out of your mouth and in through. But anyways, so. Yeah, so we identify the fact that, hey, you know what, the health is the biggest issue. So we identify that, we fix that, we correct that, and that's our main focus, because without those things, you don't have the other.
Right.
You know, my friend I was talking to yesterday, the thing came up is they were struggling in their business life. And it's because all these other surrounding issues, you know, their daughter or son was having issues in school. In this case, it wasn't issues that they were being bullied or anything like that. It was just a really intelligent kid that would get done with their work and move on. And you know, I could sympathize with that, because I grew up as a kid that the teacher would give you work and you'd look at it and you'd be like, all right, done, next. You know, and often in today's world, kids aren't challenged like they should be. And so you have to identify the root of the problem. You know, getting out there and just fixing things just to be fixing things doesn't necessarily solve issues.
No, it's like me when I try and clean the house on the weekend, I'll find myself trying to start in one room and then all of a sudden I'm all over the place and I don't even finish the room that I originally started in.
Right. So you've spent all that effort, you look down at your watch and it's now 9 o'clock at night and you've really accomplished nothing, which is why we talk about, at least here at the office, pick it up, fix it, finish it, put it down, move to the next, and don't go back and pick it back up. You know, being able to identify an issue, work on that issue, fix that issue, and then set it back down allows you to work on other things proficiently.
Right.
You know, so, and like you said, a great analogy to that is the rooms. If you say, hey, I'm going to clean the bathroom, the kitchen, and the living room, and my bedroom today, and you're going around and you're bouncing from thing to thing to thing to thing, you have everything completed at about 75% worth of what it is that you actually wanted done. And then once you're done at the end of the night, you're looking around at your 75% job that you completed and you don't feel that 100% of the things have been addressed. Why? Because you haven't completed anything at 100%, right?
Right. And it's very frustrating. And that's the same way with what you're talking about. If we're going to change a routine or change the things in our life according to a life coach or some sort of an instruction that we've got from somebody that kind of knows how to change things or correct a ship that might not be going in the right course, we have to be able to do something at 100%.
Right. And it's, once again, we go back to, okay, I want to clean my kitchen, I want to clean the bathroom, I want to clean the living room, I want to clean the bedroom. If you go in and you vacuum and you dust and you pick your things up and you wipe the windows down and change the sheets and everything else in your bedroom, when you get done with that, that room is 110% complete.
Correct.
So now you move to the living room and you do everything that needs to be done in there, and that room is now complete. Let's say you run out of time, okay, and you look and you say, man, I didn't get to the kitchen, I didn't get to the bathroom. At least you know the next day when you start cleaning again that you now have to finish the bathroom 100%, you have to finish the kitchen 100%. Everything else was done at 100% already, so you're satisfied with the work that you completed, but now you know, hey, did I wipe the counters off or not yesterday? I can't remember. Okay, so I'm going to wipe the counters off again because I couldn't remember if I wiped them off yesterday or not. You know, so we lost focus, and sometimes we start to do the task over again that we've already done, and we waste time doing it. Or we get lost in the task, like communicating back and forth with an agent. You ask yourself, hey, did I tell this agent this or did I not? You know, and in daily life, we kind of do the same thing. If you work on something a little and never actually execute or complete it, you're never going to remember if you've actually done this before or not. Does that make sense?
It does.
So if you're wanting to change, in my opinion, identify the things that are creating the root of the evil. You know, a lot of us complain about our relationships with our boyfriends or girlfriends or whoever it may be, and it's always them. It's their fault. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. But then if you stop and actually analyze the things you're not or that you are doing, you realize that you're 50% of the problem too.
You mean there's, what is it, four fingers pointing back at you when you're pointing one at somebody else?
That's true. I mean, if you think about it, you're saying you, but there's a common denominator in a person that constantly has the same issues with bunches of people. You know, I know somebody that everybody they deal with, they complain. There's nothing that's ever fucking right. Everything's always, well, they did this, they did this, they did. What about you? What is it that you're doing? What is it that you're not doing? What is it that you could be doing better? And this is a self-improvement thing because eventually nobody wants to be around you. Eventually you get to the point where people are like, I can't stand to be around that person because every time and everything that comes out of their mouth is fucking negative. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm the same way. Like I've got people on my Facebook. If you're a negative person and you're consistently negative, I delete you. I don't give a fuck if we laid in the same crib together as toddlers. I delete you. Because there is no room in my life for people who have that negativity. I don't need to wake up and be in strong spirits and then communicate with somebody that's going to bring me down. I don't have time for it. I was tolerant of it before, but then I hit a point where I'm like, you know what? Why am I doing this? Why am I torturing myself with trying to navigate somebody else through their problems if tomorrow they're going to wake up and their problem's different or their problem's the same, you know? You waste time with people and you say, hey, you should do this, 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 and this. And they say, okay, yeah, that's a good idea. And then they go back to doing
like
the same
life coaches.
Shit. Yeah.
They like, you know, we talk about the people that give you the roadmaps to success. And I'm, you know, I'm at fault for failing on those things because I haven't followed the roadmap to success and created multiple, you know, or huge amounts of wealth. But at the same point in time, I do recognize the fact that these life coaches or people teach you things and tell you the roadmap to success, and you're like, yes, yes, I'm going to do that tomorrow. You're writing all these notes down. You're super fired up at whatever event it is that they're speaking at, and then you go home, and you maybe do it for an hour or a day or a week, but then eventually it stops, and you haven't done that roadmap to success.
Right, and that's the thing. So here's the fact of the matter. When you teach a class, statistically, about 2% of the people in the class are actually going to execute the things you taught them. And the reason why a lot of these life coaches and everyone else, they're so successful is because of that figure. Because everybody wakes up and they're like, I want a new me. And so they find somebody to help them get to a new me, and then they go back to the same old shit. You know, it's like having the motor, once again, that analogy, the motor that doesn't run well. It starts. It'll do its thing. I don't have time to change the spark plugs. I don't have the money to go down and buy new plugs. I'm not going to do this. And so they just run it until it runs into the ground and just doesn't operate anymore. And then they look around and say, hey, what's going on? Why is everything going bad? You know, you talk to some people and they say, it's just one thing after another, after another, after another that is testing me in life. And that may be true, but we have to look and say, hey, is it one thing after another, after another? Or did we have issues that slowly kind of gained momentum and all of a sudden it's compiling on top of us because we can't see through the fog or see through the negativity?
Yeah, I think it'd be the latter of the two because of the fact that you've told me over and over when things are going on with myself, you get to the point where, you know, little things become a big issue because you haven't dealt with the other little things and they've compiled to the point where you can't even handle the little things anymore.
Right, because the little things seem like such big things. And so you focus and you say, oh, my God, now I have all this on my plate. You know, it's like going to a buffet and just piling shit on your plate. Eventually, everything's going to blend together and taste the same. You know, same thing with problems. Everything seems to be the same issue, and it's all you all of a sudden because everything's just going wrong and nothing can be fixed. And guess what? There's some truth to that. You know, if you allow things to compile to the point to where it can't be fixed because you're in so deep and you have to seek help in others, that's okay. But why do we torment ourselves like that? Why do we allow ourselves to get to the point where it's like, oh my God, all this shit's going wrong now? When it was something small, you know, with the car that was running bad. And I love that analogy because it's, hey, the spark plugs weren't firing right. So now we have an issue, and that issue created another issue. So now instead of just swapping out the plugs, you have to do a complete motor overhaul.
Right, because you've created heat and friction in the cylinders. And
you've created tons of issues, you know. So that's the thing. And the thing with the life coaches, no, you're never going to get there, and they're not going to say, hey, this is a roadmap to success, and if you follow it, you will be successful. Because if there was an actual map to success that everybody could follow to be successful, then there would just be another level of success that other people couldn't reach. But the fact of the matter is, you're taking lessons from people that know, people that have experienced it, people that have been through it. You know, if you ask a professional basketball player, hey, what's the best way I can condition myself to play, you know, four quarters of basketball? And they say, do this, do this, do this. Yeah, a lot of that stuff's going to work. Most of the time, people will do this and do this, but not do that and that. And it's because they think there's a shortcut. And the fact of the matter is, there's no elevator to success. I think that's a Zig Ziglar thing, right?
I would imagine so. It sounds like him.
No elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. And you take that through hard work. But the great thing is if you have somebody telling you what stairs to take, all you have to do is the hard work that's involved. You know, the only instant gratification you ever see is a lotto winner. Somebody that happened to double down at the right time, they won the lotto. But what happens typically with those people?
They blow it all.
They lose it, yeah, because they have no self-discipline, because they never were going the right direction in the first place. You know, so instead of sitting there and feeling sorry for yourself right now, instead of sitting there and saying, oh, why me, why me, why me, figure it out. Get out there. Identify your problems. Write a list. Literally write it down.
You know, and sometimes if you're that low – take care of some low-hanging fruit. Accomplish something that's small just to kind of get you going.
Yeah. Get up and make your bed in the morning.
Something.
There was a speaker. He was an admiral, and he talked about the small wins, you know, and making your bed is a win. Mm-hmm. You know, going – now, scientists and everything else would be like, no, don't make your bed because the sunlight needs to hit your bed to kill the bacteria and blah, 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 whatever. Make your bed. Simple wins, simple little things that add up, and that's all it takes, you know, just little things to help improve the current situation. And if you are down, figure out what's bringing you down. For some people, it could be their mental mind state. For some people, it could be that voice in their ear, which may be their best friend. You know, something that cracks me up is when people give relationship advice that aren't in relationships.
Or that are in bad relationships.
Right. It's like, you're in a shitty situation. How are you going to tell me how to improve mine?
Right.
Or have a history of bad relationships. You know, how are you going to tell me to run fast if you can't even run? Like, none of that makes sense. So be aware of who you're taking advice from. Be aware of who you're listening to, because there is a such thing as bad advice. You can find yourself in a situation where things were worse off than they were when you started. And now your hole is even deeper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the fact is, when you look at it, sometimes you need somebody that's motivating for you to be down in that hole and for them to start pouring water on you so you can remember how to swim. Because if you don't, you will drown. And that's the tough love of people. This person I talked to yesterday, I didn't call him up and say, you're a great person. You deserve so much more. You don't deserve to go through this. You deserve X, Y, and Z. I said, get your fucking ass up, clear your mind, focus on the things that are gonna make shit happen, take care of your health, take care of your son, take care of the things that are important, surround yourself with a positive message, find a podcast, find a YouTube video, find anything that's gonna give you a positive message and get your head out of your fucking ass and start doing it. And that's what you have to do. Sometimes that tough love is what brings you to the next level of success, because so many times, and I watch this happen in the group, people are like, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. Oh, I hope things get better. Oh, you deserve so much more. No, you don't. You only deserve more when you work for more. Nobody deserves something better. They deserve what it is they earn. Just like I tell people all the time, I hope you have the weekend you deserve. What does that mean? You should have a great weekend if you've earned a great weekend. If not, if you've spent your whole week feeling sorry for yourself and fucking people over, then you deserve a shitty weekend. Sorry, but that's the truth, right?
It is.
You know, I don't wish anything bad on anybody. What I wish is that they enjoy the fruits of success that they've worked hard for. And working hard and accomplishing things is a different definition to everybody. And that's okay because there's no set guideline that says this is what you need to do in order to be successful as far as from a title standpoint. Nobody sits there and says, hey, once you've done this, you are now successful. Success is in the mind of the beholder. You know, somebody that is poor and homeless and has nothing that gets to the point where, you know, they have a small one-bedroom apartment in a bad part of town, but they have food in their fridge, they're successful. They may not be what society says is successful, which is, you know, fancy cars, big houses, things like that, but they have created a success because they've elevated themselves from one point to the next. And the fact is success is a series of steps, and there is a series of falling down. You know, nobody's ever going to get to the top without slipping. Nobody's ever climbed a mountain without going through struggle, stopping to take a break, stopping to eat, stopping to drink some water, you know, slipping and falling, scraping their hand. Like, all that shit happens before you reach the top. And the top of the mountain is based on what you consider the mountain that you're climbing. You know, some people can climb Mount Everest. Some people can climb, I don't even know, a bunch of mountains.
How about the hill over by where we go eat?
Yeah. I mean, any of that stuff, though. Yeah. You know, success is what we rate it to be. Success is whatever your mind sets it to be. Like I said in my post a while back, I said, I want to be famous one day, but to me, fame isn't based on money. It's based on how many people's lives I can touch. So my success, whereas one person may say, I want to be a bajillionaire. I don't even know if that's an actual count of monetary value, but I want to be a bajillionaire. That's a different level of success than what it is I want to focus my life on. My life isn't to be the richest man in the world, but from a monetary value, my life is to be the richest man in the world by having people say, you see that man right there? That man helped me go through this hard time. You see that man right there? I listened to his podcast when I was down, out, and shitty, and now I'm doing better. That to me is the ultimate success. You know, it's having this servant mentality without being a servant. And when I say that, I mean that you're there to help people, but you're not going to be there to be abused by people. You can recognize the difference between helping
and being exploited.
And exactly, exactly. So, any final thoughts?
No, I hope that this podcast finds everybody well and that they've pulled something out of it that's going to give them the strength to get through whatever they might be going through.
Well, yeah, and that's the whole point of this whole thing. So I don't do these podcasts so I can just sit there and run amok for fucking 25 minutes in your stereo or whatever. I do it because I think that there's a message that can be taken because I take different obstacles in life and I identify the problem and I try to find a solution or at least a positive outlook. And no matter what it is that you're going through currently, there's always a positive, you know? Except for the dog farting on the floor.
Awesome.
There wasn't nothing positive about that. So, but actually, if you look deep enough, there is positive things.
Yeah, for her, she feels a little better.
Well, she feels better. We're able to sit here. We're able to have a dog at our place of business.
It allowed us to smile and laugh a little bit.
We're not sick, so we can smell. So that means that neither one of us has any nasal problems or congestion or anything like that. We're alive,
mm-hmm.
which that's – we're here, which means we were able to get out of bed this morning – and get in our vehicles and come to a place of business. You know, there's a lot of positive that surrounds
that's
even the
huge.
Most negative.
That's absolutely huge.
Like, but
having
realize,
a job and being able to go to a job is a big deal, whether it's a big job, a small job, whatever, it doesn't matter. If you're able to get up and go to work,
yeah,
and put some food on the table or put some money in your pocket or pay some bills or whatever the case is, you're very blessed at that point because there are folks out there that don't have a job that are looking, that have been looking. And, you know, we're blessed.
And we're talking about a fart now.
Yeah.
You realize? Like, we're talking about a dog fart.
Right.
But, yeah, either way, you know, there's so much positivity that we can find out of that. So, anyways, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I hope you have the weekend that you deserve. And I hope that if you listen to this, that you end this by writing down your list of problems and prioritizing. Remember, health, family, career. In that order, health is the most important thing. Without one, you can't have the other. You have no family life if you're dead and you're not there to celebrate your life. And no matter if your family is just you or 15,000 kids, well, 15, that's a lot of kids, but you and a bunch of children, or if you live in Utah, it's you and a bunch of children and a bunch of wives, but whatever it may be, get out there and enjoy life. Find the positive. Remember to change the spark plugs before you yank that motor out. We'll talk to you soon. Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to the AJ Nashville podcast. Let me take a second to thank our sponsors, the people that make it possible for me to be in your ears on a week-to-week basis. Thanks again for tuning in. House on the Rock Home Inspection with Dave Ganatra. You can feel free to reach his team at 615-717-7900. Let me tell you, when it comes to protecting your greatest asset that you ever purchase, Dave's got you covered. Builders fear this man. Feel free to reach out to his team. Once again, 615-717-7900.